This is WNNS in Louisville. Gradual clearing and cold tonight and tomorrow. The low tonight in the mid-20s, the high tomorrow near 40. Fair and cool tomorrow night and Tuesday. The low tomorrow night near 30 and the high on Tuesday around 50. It's 6 o'clock. Good evening. I'm Andrea Pecchioni. Another carbon tetrachloride spill is on its way to Louisville, and firemen fought a blaze at the American Plating Company today. We'll take a look at those stories and others next.
Attention pool buyers, it's a preseason sale. Yes, right now is an excellent time to consider those hot summer days ahead. If you're planning to build a pool this year, here's what Ensign Homes has to offer. The Hallmark Fiberglass Pool, the largest selling fiberglass pool in the world, and no wonder. Hallmark pools have it all going for them. Beauty, style, a variety of sizes and shapes, durability, low maintenance, safety features, simple installation, 7 days or less, and more. More is Ensign Homes' super special, a free pool heater. They normally cost you $400 to $800, but if you act now, the heater is free. Now means by February 28th, so don't delay. Call Ensign Homes for a free estimate. The number's 459-6700. That's 459-6700. Call right away to learn how simple it is to enjoy the luxury of a Hallmark pool this summer. The number again is 459-6700. 459-6700.
Another carbon tetrachloride spill is on its way to Louisville, but a Louisville Water Company spokesman, Jerry Ford, says he's not concerned about it. Ford also says people in Louisville won't have to take any extra precautions in order to protect their water supplies once the spill gets this far.
I honestly kind of doubt it. This is well within the 50 parts per billion that they have set as the standard for finished water. And you're talking about this amount in the raw water, so it really doesn't loom as being that big of a spill.
Officials think the spill came from West Virginia, and Ford says it will be well diluted by the time it gets here. Insurance Commissioner Harold McGuffey defended no-fault insurance today on the WNNS News Conference program. He says that with no-fault, claims are being processed faster.
They're being paid faster because you don't have to investigate the accident. If you have a fault, an accident in your car, the company doesn't have to investigate whether you're at fault or the other person at fault. People injured both cars are paid and paid promptly.
Last week, McGuffey gave an insurance company a 20% rate hike. He said other companies are also asking for increases, and the insurance commissioner says he has to grant them in order to keep no fault in the state. When firemen got to the American Plating Company in the 1100 block of Lexington Road this morning, the building was completely engulfed in flames. They sent out a second alarm, and after other firefighters arrived, it took 30 minutes to bring the blaze under control. Several firemen fell victim to smoke inhalation, and one was taken to a hospital with minor injuries. Investigators are still working on how the fire got started. Two South Bend, Indiana missionaries are among the Americans being detained in Uganda. Dictator Idi Amin says he is postponing a meeting he had scheduled for tomorrow with the Americans until Wednesday. Sister Gabriel Christensen and Father Richard Pothas are among the missionaries who are being rounded up at Amin's orders. Kentucky Congressman Ron Mazzoli says the U.S. should use pressure but not force to guarantee the safety of the Americans, but Mazzoli says he won't endorse any direct show of force.
I don't think it would be necessary. I don't think it would be called for, and I think there are other ways to do it. But I must say that any time a man like him, I would say certainly a complete tyrant, would hurt American nationals and do so in defiance of world opinion and do so almost flagrantly, almost like, you know, I'm testing you. Then we may have to use a little gunboat diplomacy.
Congressman Ron Mazzoli. An announcement is expected tomorrow on the future of the Kentucky State Hospital, but reliable sources have been quoted as saying the mental institution will soon become a home for troubled juveniles. And they say patients living at the facility will be transferred or sent home. 300 jobs could be lost, but the workers also could be offered other jobs in Kentucky government. 3 or 4 years from now, Americans will have less gas. That's the opinion of former Interior Secretary Stuart Udall speaking at a Lexington news conference. He also said the natural gas crisis is not the invention of the gas industry, and he predicted the new federal strip mine bill will pass and be signed by the president. Senator Howard Baker says he wouldn't object to Russellville, Kentucky publisher Al Smith as a potential member of the TVA board. A seat on the authority's board is now vacant. The Senate minority leader was in Louisville yesterday and said he's asked presidential advisor, energy advisor James Schlesinger to urge that the vacancy be filled quickly. WNNS News Time approaching 6:06. We'll take a look at the weather next.
Continuing news on WHAS, Radio 84. The largest broadcast news staff in Kentucky, Anna, brings you over 34 hours a week of news and information. Mark Thomas and Melanie Roberts update your mornings. Glenn Baston has the complete story in the afternoon with sports by Kaywood Ledford, weather with Chuck Taylor and Ken Rowland's market reports. Jan Thomas anchors the evening news. WHAS, Radio 84, the Kentucky Anna news leader with continuing news and information.
The News Radio 97 FM weather forecast calls for gradual clearing and cold temperatures tonight and tomorrow, the low tonight in the mid-20s, the high tomorrow near 40. Fair and cool tomorrow night and Tuesday, with a low tomorrow night near 30 and a high on Tuesday of around 50. In Louisville now, we have cloudy skies. Our temperature is 36. I'm Andrea Pecchione.
Where the policy is discount prices all year round, remind you that it's 7 after the hour.
This is Mike Freely.
And I'm Gordon Graham with your news and information service. Another economist has attacked President Carter's plan to stimulate the economy with a $50 tax rebate. In an interview with U.S. News and World Report, Dr. Milton Friedman says the proposed rebate would only appear to stimulate retail sales. Proposed tax cuts, says Friedman, will add to inflation without reaching the declared goal of reducing unemployment. Friedman suggested the administration impose a permanent tax cut and a ceiling on government spending.
Incidentally, Gordon, that Carter tax bill, along with the proposed new ethics code for lawmakers, is up for action in the Congress this week. And in addition, the House is expected to act on a bill that would extend the government's authority to control interest on savings accounts and broaden the lending powers of credit unions. Top business in the Senate, meanwhile, will be the nomination of Paul Warnke as chief U.S. disarmament negotiator.
Despite the slight risk involved, the former president of the American Cancer Society says all women over 35 should have breast x-rays. Dr. Benjamin Bird, head of the Society's Breast Cancer Task Force, says the chance of detecting a possible cancer outweighs the risk. There has been a sharp drop in the number of women undergoing breast x-rays because of reports that the examination would increase a woman's risk of breast cancer by 1%. Byrd says the risk is theoretical.
Overseas, Prime Minister Oo Sin Win and Deputy Prime Minister Oo Lu Win and 14 other government ministers have decided to resign in Burma to allow new blood into the top leadership in that country's government. The ruling Burma Socialist Program Party says the ministers decided not to seek re-election to the party's central committee.
More than 6 million of Algeria's 7.5 million voters cast ballots in today's parliamentary election. Officials say the election of a new one-party parliament marked an important step toward the nation's goal of constitutional legitimacy. This is your news and information station.
Hi, I'm Jackie Vernon. Here, let me show you some interesting slides. This is a woman in front of her home. Those are her children next to her. Next slide. A W-2 form shows she's earned $4,000 with no income tax withheld. Now look at this. A government check to her for $400. That's her earned income credit. She got that money back even though no taxes were withheld. But she had to file a tax return to get it. This chart shows who's eligible for an earned income credit and how much. She must have earned less than $8,000 and meet a couple of other requirements. Your Internal Revenue Service office can tell you whether you're eligible for an earned income credit or not. Check with IRS and find out. I won't show you any more slides until you do, okay?
I think think we need gas again, Estelle.
Didn't we just fill the tank up yesterday?
That was yesterday.
Harold, didn't you ask that car salesman about how much gas mileage this car gets when you bought it?
I was too busy trying out the electric windows.
Electric windows.
And besides, we did need a new car.
Now at least we can drive to the poorhouse.
Unfortunately, most people find out how much gas mileage their car gets only after they've bought it. That's why on all new cars, you'll find the new MPG sticker. It'll tell you approximately how much gas mileage your car will get and how much money you can expect to pay for gasoline over a year's average driving. It'll also remind you that you can ask your dealer for a free gas mileage comparison guide, which includes economy driving tips. The MPG sticker. Don't buy a car without reading it first, or it may be a mistake you'll never stop paying for.
I think we need gas again, Estelle.
You're kidding, Harold.
A public service message on behalf of this station and the Federal Energy Administration.
The favorites are the winners so far in today's action in the NBA. That story and all the sports news coming up next.
The Bullets, the Spurs, and the Warriors. Afternoon winners in the NBA. I'm Jake Doniger with sports. Elvin Hayes led the Washington Bullets to a 117-105 win over the Buffalo Braves this afternoon at the Capitol Center in Landover, Maryland. The Big E had 40 points, with 11 of those coming in the final 4 minutes of the game, or when the Bullets needed them. Washington was trailing earlier by 17. Former Washington area high school star Adrian Dantley led the Braves with 33. Phil Smith canned 9 of his game-high 24 in the fourth quarter to lead the Golden State Warriors past the New York Nets. The final in that one, 106-98. Mike Bantam leading the Nets with 23. Former New York Net Billy Paltz set 31. George Gervin added 27 as the San Antonio Spurs invaded New Orleans and creamed the Jazz, 135-118. Pete Maravich wasn't stopped, though. He scored 50 for the losers. Add that to the 68 he canned against the Knicks Friday night. Well, not a bad weekend's work in scoring. At the half, the Celtics are trailing the Denver Nuggets 61-55. And in college basketball, the Tar Heels of North Carolina had little trouble with Duke yesterday at Durham, proving they were the class of the ACC. But today, it could have been different. Number 8 UNC entertained number 10 Louisville at Chapel Hill and came away an easy winner. The final 96-89 with Phil Ford's floor mastery once again on display. The Cardinals may have respected Dean Smith's little All-American, but they certainly didn't like it. Phil handled the field generalship flawlessly and he scored 26. Freshman sensation. And where does Dean Smith get them? Mike O'Corrin also threw in 26. Denny Crum, the coach at Louisville, says he's disappointed his kids were out-hustled as the way they were.
Well, now, I did get on them hard, I have to admit. Probably as hard as I've ever got on a team. I just was very disappointed in the fact that we got out-hustled so much. I don't think it was a conscious thing. Our players seemed to be nervous when the game started. Other than Wilson and Cox, I didn't think anybody played nearly up to their ability.
The Tar Heels, of course, had to play at Durham yesterday and managed to come back and win against a class opponent, the Louisville Cardinals, 24 hours later. The University of Connecticut and Fairfield University were named today to compete in the Eastern College Athletic Conference New England basketball playoffs. The tournament is to be played March 3rd through 5th at the Hartford Civic Center. Seedings for the two teams will be decided when they meet in their regular season finale at Storrs Tuesday night. The winner of the Fairfield-UConn game will be seeded third and paired against number 2 seed Holy Cross at a 7 o'clock game at the Civic Center on Thursday. The loser becomes fourth seed and meets top seed Providence at 9 o'clock that same night, Thursday. 13 minutes past the hour. Jack Nicklaus won the Jackie Gleason Inverary Golf title at Lauderhill, Florida. The Golden Bear, golf's all-time money winner, pocketed $50,000 for his 61st PGA victory. He closed with a 2-under 70 for a 72-hole total of 13-under 275 and just pulled away from the field, which had earlier seen them tie. Mr. Nicklaus, he won by 5 strokes. Judy Rankin won the Bent Tree Golf Tourney by 4 at Sarasota, Florida. The 32-year-old Texan, who earned a record $150,000 last year, strung together inconsistent rounds of 63, 77, and 69 for a 3-day total of 7-under-209. Rankin won last week's St. Petersburg stop on the LPGA Tour and lost a playoff in the opening Miami event 2 weeks ago. Clifford Ann Creed shot a 69 today to finish second at 213. Tam Higgins, who beat Rankin in the Miami playoff, was another stroke back after carding a 73. The rest of the 60 women field had 3-day totals far over par. The New York Yankees signed 6 players, welcomed Thurman Munson to training camp, and got some good news from Catfish Hunter today. Hunter felt some tenderness in his right arm yesterday, but he threw again today and felt no pain. He was bothered most of last season by tendonitis in his right shoulder. This is your news and information station.
Okay, some of the members now of our news production staff at this hour. Our producers, Gary Kay, the editors, Brad Kelfeld, the writers are Lynn Smiles, Al Holzer, Judy Black, Roy Whitfield, Mary Cornett, Mike Clancy, and Joyce Rosenberg.
Coming up during the next quarter hour, Doctors Leon and Shirley Zussman has some thoughts on the problems of marriage and money. From Rio, Bruce Handler reports a voodoo-type cult is causing problems for the Catholic Church. And Marty Buffalini reports on serious accidents in Michigan. Today is Sunday, the 27th of February, 1977. This is Gordon Gray.
And I'm Mike Breeley with your news and information service. It depends on just who you're listening to. For the latest on the Ugandan story, Uganda Radio is saying the country has warned its citizens to be prepared for an American invasion within the next 24 hours, adding that the military is now on a 24-hour alert. The broadcast says the presence of an American destroyer off the East African coast should be taken seriously. President Idi Amin postponed his meeting with those 200 or so Americans living in Uganda, rescheduling it for Wednesday instead of tomorrow, and moving the meeting to a new location, the Entebbe Airport Lounge. The same lounge raided by the Israeli commandos, if you recall, last July. In Washington, spokesmen at the Pentagon and the State Department denied there has been any change in the status of U.S. ships or troops, and they stand by earlier comments that the Navy task force had been scheduled to be in the Indian Ocean before events arose in Uganda.
Jordan's King Hussein has admitted receiving secret payments from the Central Intelligence Agency. Hussein says the money was not used for his personal gain, but to help finance intelligence and security operations. In an interview in the current issue of Newsweek magazine, the King said the Washington Post reports that the money went directly to him for his personal benefit was a complete fabrication. Regarding the propriety of the payments, Hussein said, "Anything I can get for Jordan and my people is proper."
The Egyptian President Anwar Sadat says that if the United States uses its influence in negotiations on the Middle East, there could be peace within 1 month. Sadat says the United States is trusted by both Egypt and Israel. Meantime, Sadat is now in Khartoum in the Sudan for a summit meeting with the presidents of Syria and the Sudan. The three presidents are expected to ratify the participation of Sudan in the United Political Command formed by Egypt and Syria 2 months ago. Sadat was interviewed in Cairo before leaving for Khartoum. It was there he talked about the United States as a prime mover in restoring peace to the Middle East, and he mentioned President Carter.
President Carter has shown great statesmanship in two occasions. The first one, when he took the initiative and sent us $500 million help in our very difficult economic situation that we are facing here, on his own initiative. The second thing is that he canceled this concussion bomb project to the Israelis.
Sadat spoke those words on the ABC program Issues and Answers.
The State Department is searching for papers relating to a possible secret agreement between former Secretary of State Kissinger and the People's Republic of China. The agreement reportedly promises U.S. termination of its ties with Taiwan. Secretary of State Cyrus Vance acknowledged that the search was underway during a television interview today. Vance was also asked if President Carter's letter to Soviet dissident Andrei Sakharov amounted to meddling in Soviet affairs.
There will be times when the United States will feel it appropriate to speak out publicly. There will be other times when we will feel it appropriate to communicate by quiet diplomacy with the country involved and see what can be accomplished in that way. And in each case, we are going to have to weigh the facts and the circumstances and make our determination.
Vance said it is difficult to draw a line between internal interference and speaking out for human rights.
Errol Coleman, a senior party colleague of Rhodesian Prime Minister Ian Smith, accuses his government of abandoning its principles by proposing an end to most racial discrimination laws. Coleman, acting chairman of the ruling Rhodesian Front Party, repeated the slashing attack he made yesterday on the race reform proposals announced by Smith last Wednesday.
There's been a second spill of the dry cleaning chemical carbon carbon tetrachloride in the Ohio River. It does not appear to be as serious as the first. Details in this report from Russ Wise.
The second spill isn't causing nearly the concern downstream that the first one did. Already, readings are showing the concentration of carbon tetrachloride to be below the danger level. Cincinnati closed its water intakes as a precaution, but Louisville Water Company executive Jerry Ford doesn't expect to here.
Of course, that is an option that we'll have, but at this point, we don't think that it's going to be severe enough to cause us to exercise that option.
Louisville Mayor Harvey Sloan, who is a physician, has asked the Environmental Protection Agency to close a plant which is suspected of being the source of both spills. This is Russ Wise in Louisville.
A pollution control team worked today to stretch a containment boom around 21,000 gallons of crude oil, which spilled into the Mississippi River in a barge accident. Browning Ferris Industries is handling the cleanup, which occurred yesterday when three barges being pushed by a tugboat ran aground 8 miles south of the capital of Louisiana on the east bank of the river. Vic Kearns, a spokesman for the cleanup company, tells of the operation.
We'll probably have the bulk of the oil picked up by tomorrow evening. And then there is quite a bit of driftwood in the area that we are picking out of the water now and putting this driftwood on the shoreline. And then we'll have to come back and pick the driftwood up.
The barges and the tug are owned by the Dixie Carriers, Incorporated of Harvey, Louisiana. The Senate Interior Committee opens another series of hearings on strip mine legislation this week. And one of the key provisions of the bill, the so-called Mansfield Amendment, is likely to be cut. The amendment would ban strip mining in areas where the federal government owns mineral rights beneath privately owned land. Coal industry leaders say the amendment would prevent recovery of vast reserves of coal in the West. This is your news and information station.
The Indians had known about it for centuries, but historians give the credit for discovering the Mississippi River to a Spanish conquistador. Do you know who that señor was? I'm Susan Altman in Washington with today's American Quiz. The man who stumbled across the Mississippi and into the history books was Hernando de Soto. De Soto was the perfect conquistador, courageous, handsome, and greedy. And his career was one long string of successes, at least until he discovered the Mississippi. De Soto was brought to the New World as a protege of a powerful Spanish governor. The young man was sent along on Pizarro's expedition to conquer the Inca Empire. De Soto personally captured the Inca emperor, and for his valor, he got a big chunk of the ransom money. His next step was to marry the boss's daughter. She was the only child of the governor, and her dowry included some beautiful orange groves. But De Soto wasn't happy. He wanted more money. So he raised a private army of 600 foot soldiers and 120 cavalry and set out to look for gold and jewels in North America. They landed at Tampa Bay and wandered about for a year until they found what they weren't looking for, the Mississippi River. Poor De Soto. He couldn't find any gold or jewels, and his men wanted to go home. So De Soto lied to them and said the ships had been sunk. Then the Indians turned hostile, and the conquistador suffered an arrow wound in the rump during a battle in Alabama. Still, he pressed on. He got as far as Oklahoma and then backtracked to the Mississippi, where he died in 1542. His men buried him there in the river to hide his death from the Indians. This is Susan Altman in Washington with today's American Quiz.
Many folks say that family arguments in a marriage are always about kids, in-laws, and money matters. And if you've ever had an argument with your mate about financial matters, and who hasn't, well, you have lots of company. Doctors Leon and Shirley Zussman with more on that.
A major source of conflict in a marriage is quarreling about how to spend money. With 40% of all married women now working, many women feel that they should have an equal voice in deciding how to spend the family income.
Problems arise when one person has a different set of values from the other person about how money should be used.
Even if husband and wife come from the same financial background, they may have very different buying habits. One will believe in buying the best. The other will choose the least expensive. Both might insist that their own way is the most economical.
Bill might complain that his wife's penny pinching drives him mad. He feels that they earn enough money, and she doesn't have to be so thrifty. But she's still trying to be the good girl her parents brought her up to be.
Sandy has a different story. She feels she has to be very careful on their income, or it'll never stretch enough to cover Bill's carefree way with money. According to her, he can't get used to holding on to more money than he actually needs. He wants to buy everything he sees.
Personality factors affect the way people spend money, too. If a person is anxious about the future, he may be reluctant to spend money. Yet another person may take large risks because he doesn't know what the future may bring. Understanding each other's spending habits and planning together is one step towards avoiding arguments over family finances.
We're Drs. Leon and Shirley Zussman.
And this is your news and information station. Coming up, religious leaders in Brazil complain about the practitioners of voodoo. We'll have a report. A voodoo-type cult in Brazil is causing some problems for the Catholic Church. Bruce Handler reports.
The Catholic Church here in Brazil again is in conflict with practitioners of African-based voodoo-like religions. The Archdiocese in São Paulo, Brazil's biggest city, ordered a local priest to call off a mass that was to have been celebrated in honor of Saint Jerome, at which more than 1,000 people were present. The reason was that the worshippers belonged to a voodoo-type cult called Umbanda, in which Saint Jerome of the Catholic Church personifies a powerful spirit god known as Xangô. Officially, the archdiocese did not give a reason for the ban, but the archbishop's office told the parish priest that if he performed the mass, he would, in these words, suffer the consequences. The conflict between Catholicism and voodoo has been going on in Brazil for hundreds of years. Brazil was colonized by Catholic Portugal, but later large numbers of Africans were brought to this country to work as slaves, and their local spirit-based religions came with them. Today, tens of millions of Brazilians who nominally call themselves Catholics actually believe more strongly in Umbanda and other voodoo cults. Voodoo worshippers in modern-day Brazil include people of all races and colors, and not just those of African descent. The Catholic Church used to directly combat voodoo in Brazil, but that policy produced absolutely no results, so the church adopted a more tolerant stance. Nevertheless, the Brazilian Catholic Church still will not allow an actual Catholic Mass to be used for what is clearly a voodoo ceremony. Bruce Handler, Rio de Janeiro.
We have an interesting report coming up from Detroit in 60 seconds.
Base bar, carriage return. Okay, that's it.
Looks perfect to me.
Hungry.
All right. Go ahead now and let's send it on through.
Okay.
All right.
What you're hearing is a conversation between Dr. Madison Spock, March of Dimes grantee and professor of pediatrics at Duke University, and Dr. Michael Day, who as a medical student studied with Dr. Spock. And the maps
have come up. Last year, I was one of more than 100 people who received a medical student research grant from the March of Dimes. As a result of the fellowship, I've decided to pursue a career in pediatric cardiology and birth defects research.
Thanks in part to your generosity, a new researcher has joined the March of Dimes team seeking ways to protect the unborn and the newborn.
I'll always be grateful to the March of Dimes and the people who support it for their part in establishing my life's direction.
Give generously to the March of Dimes.
Michigan is getting ready for imposing new regulations on tanker trucks and drivers carrying dangerous payloads. Michigan and California are the only two states that don't have stiff rules on it. It's all prompted by serious accidents recently involving tanker trucks. And here is more from Detroit and Marty Buffalini.
The Michigan State Police are getting ready to impose new rules on tanker trucks driving in the state. Michigan and California are the only two states in the country that do not have stiff rules regulating the speed of tanker trucks carrying explosive payloads or the areas that they can drive in. A series of accidents involving the trucks on some of Detroit's busy city freeways has prompted state officials to impose new regulations. A proposed list of new state rules includes a speed limit for safety reasons, but does not ban tanker trucks from highways during certain hours. A first draft of the rules has been sent to Michigan Governor William Milliken, and they should be implemented next week. Marty Buffalini in Detroit.
29 minutes past the hour, and here's what's happening. Uganda Radio says its country has warned its citizens to be prepared for an American invasion within the next 24 hours. President Amin has postponed his meeting with about 200 Americans in Uganda to Wednesday to give them more time to get to the meeting site at Entebbe Airport.
Jordan's King Hussein has admitted receiving secret payments from the Central Intelligence Agency. He says the money was not for his personal use, but for security and intelligence operations.
President Sadat of Egypt says if the United States uses its influences in negotiations in the Mideast, there could be peace within a month.
Secretary of State Vance says the State Department is searching for papers relating to a possible secret agreement between Henry Kissinger and the People's Republic of China.
All news, all day, every day. This is your News and Information Service. With Gordon Graham, I'm Mike Preeley.
News Radio 97 FM is brought to you by Bushmeyer's, more than just a jewelry store, located downtown next to Stewart's.
Last October, I said, in the field of popular music, Stevelin Judkins Morris has just given us maybe the best album of the 70s. Well, the judges for the Grammy Awards decided it was also an award-winning album. More in a minute.
Time is man's simple invention to measure beginnings and endings. Few things challenge that dimension. One is the special love of one human being for another, personal and unique. Another is the symbol of that love, a diamond. Like the timelessness of love, a diamond endures forever, and no matter what size, no two are ever alike. A diamond from Bushmeyer's tells your special story of love in a most meaningful way. And to make your diamond even more personal, you can choose from a variety of shapes. Round brilliant, square, pear, oval, marquise, or emerald cut. Bushmeyer's will also be glad to show you a variety of settings, plus a free copy of the booklet The Diamond is Forever. A Bushmeyer diamond does endure forever. And isn't that what you want as a symbol of your special feelings? Bushmeyer's, 515 River City Mall, right next door to Stewart's, and in Embry's, Oxmoor Center.
Songs in the Key of Life is the Grammy Award-winning album by the wonder musician known as Stevie Wonder. By the age of 12, then little Stevie Wonder had his first hit, Fingertips. 14 years later comes this.
If it's magic, then why can't it be everlasting? Like the sun that always shines, like the poet's endless rhyme, like the galaxies in time.
From that simple elegance to this shade of the classic.
Summer soft wakes you up with a kiss to start the morning off. In the midst of herself playing Santa Claus, she brings gifts through her grave. Morning rain gently plays her rhythms on the windowpane, giving you no clue of when she plans to change, to bring rain or sunshine.
The 26-year-old Stevie Wonder picked up four Grammys this time with this double album. It took him 2 years to make it because he wanted it to be perfect. All 21 songs were produced, arranged, and written by Stevie Wonder. He was quoted, "There are many things to speak about in the world, but you can't deny, neglect, or ignore the wonderfulness of love." He expresses that love for his daughter in song. He also expresses his love for great musicians like the late Duke Ellington and friends. Sir Duke, at last year's Grammy Awards, Paul Simon won for Best Album. Paul said at the time, "Thanks, Stevie Wonder, for not producing an album this year." Well, thanks, Stevie, for producing beauty this year. Songs in the Key of Life. This is Jerry David Malloy, the Music Man.
Winter's with us now, but can spring be far behind? And with the dreams of warmer weather come dreams of new spring fashions. Wouldn't you like to buy those new clothes in a size smaller than last year's instead of a size bigger? Now's the time to set that goal and let Slender World help you reach it. Slender World's 90-day total program can help put spring into your step in time for spring. With their contour cream treatments, you could lose from 5 to 12 inches overall on your very first visit. The contour cream treatments help take away the inches where you need to lose it most while you work toward permanent weight loss with a diet counseling program. And there are no long-term contracts. Reach your goal in as little as 90 days. Some people find Slender World is the only program that's ever worked for them. It could work for you. Slender World at 418 Executive Park. Call for an appointment now, 897-3271. That's 897-3271. To get ready for spring, start now.
Cloudy skies in Louisville. Our temperature is 36.
News Radio 97FM is brought to you by Bushmeyer's, more than just a jewelry store, located downtown next to Stewart's.
This is Gordon Graham.
And I'm Mike Preeley with your news and information service. Pentagon spokesmen are denying there has been any change in the status of ships and troops near Uganda, Americans in that area, and they're emphasizing that the U.S. Naval Task Force that's been cruising in the Indian Ocean had been scheduled there long before the recent turn of events in Uganda. About 200 Americans remain in that country waiting for a meeting with President Idi Amin on Wednesday before they'll be allowed out of the country. Radio Uganda is warning its citizens to be prepared for an American invasion, saying the presence of an American destroyer in the Indian Ocean should not be taken lightly.
A spokesman for General Amin says reports that 1,000 Cuban troops are now in Uganda are false. The reports appeared in two Kenyan newspapers, which quoted informed sources as saying a military pact was concluded between Cuba and Uganda last month. Those reports, said a Cuban military official, had discussed supplying President Amin with troops and hardware after Amin's charge that 5,000 American troops were ready to attack his country.
Special United States envoy Clark Clifford is set to meet tomorrow with the British Foreign Secretary to brief him on the results of Clifford's fact-finding mission to the Mediterranean. Clifford says he sees no reason why a settlement of the Cyprus situation cannot be reached by the end of the year. After meeting with British Foreign Secretary David Owen, Clifford will return to Washington and deliver his report to President Carter.
In an interview in the current edition of Newsweek magazine, Jordan's King Hussein has acknowledged that secret CIA payments have helped finance his country's intelligence and security operations, but he denied the payments were used for his personal gain. According to Hussein, a Washington Post report that payments were made directly to the king is a complete fabrication. On the question of propriety, Hussein said, "Anything I can get for Jordan and my people is proper."
The National Governors Conference winter meeting is set to get underway in Washington tomorrow, and tonight 47 governors are assembling in preparation. This is your news and information station.
Oh, let's see. 4 from 6 is 2.
Oh, it looks like you're up to your ears in taxes, honey.
Oh, boy, this is my first go-around with a joint return.
Well, we're going to take the standard deduction, aren't we? I mean, it's easier, there's less math, and everybody else...
For some taxpayers like us, maybe it's better to itemize. You know why the interest and the taxes on the house alone are going to take...
You bought a house without me?
Well, what about the sales tax on the new car?
What new car?
Oh, and then there's the alimony payment. I can't forget that.
Alimony? Now, that's the last straw.
I'm just kidding you.
Oh. Well, before, I've always taken the standard deduction.
Yeah, well, I've always itemized, see?
Well, but now that we're married, I suppose we should figure out our taxes both ways. Mm. The Internal Revenue Service advises taxpayers to do that.
Right, to see what's best for our situation.
Wow, you really had me going there for a while.
I forgot to deduct the tax on the new cabin cruiser.
Hey, you're kidding, aren't you?
Yeah, it's a good feeling, a good, good feeling. Oh. Yes, it's a good feeling, a good, good feeling. Happy.
Hi, this is Lola Falana. You know, the minimum wage is $2.30 an hour for most non-farm workers. If you're not being paid the minimum wage and you think you should be, then call the nearest wage in our office today. This message has been brought to you as a public service by the U.S. Department of Labor and this station.
And Jack Nicklaus are golf's tour winners today in a live line report 2 from Denver on the NBA action there. Sports next.
Two golfing pros of note are winners of their tournaments today in Florida, Jack Nicklaus and Judy Rankin. I'm Jake Donegan with sports. Nicklaus won the Jackie Gleason Inverary Golf title at Lauderhill, Florida. The Golden Bear, golf's all-time money winner, pocketing $50,000 for a 61st PGA victory. He closed with a 2-under-70, a 72-hole total of 13-under-275. Judy Rankin won the Bent Tree Golf Tourney by 4 strokes in Sarasota. The 32-year-old Texan, who earned a record $150,000 last year, strung together inconsistent rounds of 63, 77, and 69 for a 3-day total of 7-under-209. She won last week's St. Petersburg stop on the LPGA Tour and lost a playoff in the opening Miami event 2 weeks ago. Pete Maravich scored 50 today before the home folks, and you'd think that New Orleans would win, right? Wrong. The Jazz were beaten and beaten badly by San Antonio by a score of 135 to 118. That could mean something, but Pete's surely hot. He scored 68 against the Knicks on Friday night when the Jazz won and won easily. Not so today. Billy Paulson, George Gervin more than made up for Pistol Pete. Billy the ex-Net had 31 and Gorgeous George 27. The Nets, meanwhile, took over a fourth quarter lead against the Warriors, but Golden State won it on some Phil Smith histrionics. Phil high for the game with 24, with 9 coming in that last quarter to turn it around for the Warriors. The final in that one, Golden State 106, the New York Nets 98. The Big E is what Elvin Hayes is known in Washington, and he scored 40 points today and leading the Bullets to a 117-105 win over Buffalo. Adrian Dantley, a local Washington boy who made good, had 33 for the Braves. Elvin scored 11 in the last 4 minutes to pull the Bullets away from the Braves, who'd actually led by 17 earlier. The Denver Nuggets were leading the Boston Celtics by 6 at the half. Let's go now to a live line for a report on that game's progress from Tony LaMonica. Tony?
The Boston Celtics will go home unhappy this afternoon. The final score here at McNichols Arena in Denver, Denver 121, Boston 100. Going into this game, Denver had not beaten Boston. Boston the only team in the NBA that Denver could not beat until this afternoon. It was a record crowd of 17,800 plus on hand this afternoon that saw David Thompson dunk 31. It was an excellent match. At first, it started off 1 point here, 1 point there. It was pretty even until the half. Denver pulled ahead in the third quarter. They tried to blow them out completely in the fourth quarter, almost did, although 17th points is not exactly having a close ball game. So Denver over Boston, 121-100. I'm Tony LaMonica in Denver.
In the World Hockey Association, the Houston Aeros beat the Phoenix Roadrunners by a score of 5-4. It's 17 before the hour. A second-half rally by Louisville fell short this afternoon, and the Tar Heels of North Carolina whipped the Cardinals 96-89, as we hear in this report from Ed Dubrow.
Great second-half comeback by 10th-ranked Louisville prevented what looked like a blowout by North Carolina. The 9th-ranked Tar Heels held on for the win, 96-89. Great defense and a hot shooting hand let North Carolina build a 19-point halftime lead. Tar Heel coach Dean Smith saw the second half this way.
I thought it was the kind of game that it looked like we wore out or Louisville was better condition or something. But it's hard when you're against a great team and you're up 20. They aren't going to fall over and play dead, and Louisville certainly didn't. So we're feel very happy to have won the game.
Final, North Carolina 96, Louisville 89. Ed Dubrow, Charlotte, North Carolina.
The University of Connecticut and Fairfield University named today to compete in the Eastern College Athletic Conference New England Basketball Playoffs. The tournament is to be played March 3rd through 5th. At the Hartford Civic Center. The New York Yankees signed 6 players and welcomed Thurman Munson to training camp. There were other signings as well. Mike Jorgensen joined the Expos. This is your news and information station.
And these are some of the members of our production staff at this hour. Directors Philip Roth, our engineers, Vinnie Deal. The writers are Roy Whitfield and Smiles, Laura Foreman, Tony Dill, Barry Cornett, Joyce Rosenberg, and Mike Clancy.
Coming up during the next 15 minutes, Roger Field talks with an expert on the authenticity of antiques. And then Dr. Lee Salt reports on an organization devoted to the welfare of children forced into foster care because their families can't care for them. Late news next.
It is Sunday, February 27th of 1977, and this is Mike Preeley.
And I'm Gordon Graham with your news and information service. Ugandan President Idi Amin has put his nation's armed forces on round-the-clock military alert because of what the government says or fears that an American task force will attempt a rescue of the 200 Americans in Uganda. This morning, Radio Uganda announced that Amin was delaying his meeting with American nationals until Wednesday, and that the meeting site had been moved to Entebbe Airport. A change of venue that may be significant and ominous. Richard Tompkins reports from Nairobi.
The change of the meeting site to Entebbe may hold a clue as to what lies in store for the Americans during the meeting. Entebbe was the scene of President Amin's humiliation last summer when Israeli commandos rescued hostages held there by pro-Palestinian hijackers. President Amin has consistently attacked Israel for the raid and also what he calls the Zionist-controlled Western press for not denouncing the Israeli action. Observers here believe President Amin may turn his meeting with the Americans into a platform for new anti-Israeli denunciations and an attack on what President Amin calls Zionist influences in American foreign policy. Richard Tompkins, Nairobi.
A senior political colleague of Rhodesia's Prime Minister Ian Smith has accused the government of abandoning its principles by proposing an end to most race discrimination laws in that country. Harold Coleman, acting chairman of the ruling Rhodesian Front Party, accuses the Smith regime of turning away from the race relations platform that brought it to power. Yesterday, a black nationalist group, the African National Council, called for a referendum to choose a black national leader. The ANC is vying with other more radical nationalist groups for official recognition as the leader of Rhodesia's black movement.
President Carter has returned to the White House after his first weekend at Camp David. This morning, Mr. Carter attended church services in Maryland, where the minister asked the congregation to pray for Ugandan President Idi Amin. In an interview in today's Boston Globe, the president says he supports the 28% pay hike for congressmen, but says the way it was done was a mistake. Congress accepted the pay raise without voting on it.
Canadian Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau, appearing on the NBC News program Meet the Press, says that the free flow of culture into Canada from the United States should not be stopped by the passage of Canadian laws. But Trudeau says that preferential treatment should be accorded Canadian institutions and especially the media.
I've always objected to putting tariffs on culture and to any form of cultural protectionism. Now you might say, well, what have you been doing? Well, what we've been doing is promote Canadian culture, not negate other cultures. For instance, when we took certain measures with the media, we weren't sort of preventing the media from coming in. We just said we won't give foreign media the same tax advantages as we give Canadian media.
Trudeau also says that Canada wants to control its own economy and its own politics, even though the policies could conflict with the United States positions.
The probe continues into the mysterious disappearance of Nevada's powerful labor boss, Al Bramlett. Bramlett's wife says her husband telephoned a hotel executive Thursday night and asked him to deliver $10,000 to a Las Vegas casino. and Mrs. Bramlett says there is no indication that that was a ransom request. Bill Buckmaster has more.
The investigation into the disappearance of union leader Al Bramlett has authorities stymied. The 59-year-old Bramlett, state AFL-CIO president and head of the 22,000-member culinary union in Nevada, apparently has vanished and has not been seen or heard from since late Thursday. A national all-points bulletin has been issued, and the FBI was called in to try to locate the union boss. One Las Vegas homicide detective summed up the investigation by saying, "There's no body, but there's one missing." There's been no ransom demand either. This is Bill Buckmaster in Las Vegas.
The Washington Post says that Representative James Mann, a South Carolina Democrat, has used his congressional staff to help a Greenville, South Carolina mail-order coin company. The Post says that Mann acknowledges loaning $38,000 to businessman Ben Goss to start the U.S. coin company. Goss was recently convicted of mail fraud for failure to fill nearly $250,000 of the company's customer orders. The newspaper says that Mann and his staff helped Goss by buying thousands of dollars worth of coins and bills from a government office when Goss had trouble purchasing the currency elsewhere.
Representatives of 2,500 maintenance workers in New York City have voted to end their three-day school walkout. Some will return to work today, and the full force will be back on the job tomorrow. Paul McElroy has details.
Maintenance men who struck New York's public schools last week in a contract dispute have approved a new contract now. By a 3-to-1 margin, the men charged with keeping New York's public schools clean and warm approved a contract providing a 60-cent an hour pay increase over a 2-year period. "It's not the dollar an hour we'd wanted," says Union President Rodman Blymeyer, "but it was the best we could get." The settlement means New York children will be able to resume full sessions again. The elementary, secondary, and high schools had been reduced to half-day sessions to conserve heat. Paul McElroy, NBC News, New York.
The Coast Guard says that 5 ice fishermen have been rescued unharmed from an ice floe in Lake Erie. The men braved snow and wind gusts of up to 40 knots while stranded on the ice. Meanwhile, off Monroe, Michigan, the bodies of 2 of 5 people who fell through the ice and apparently drowned Saturday have been recovered. The Coast Guard says 2 bodies are still missing. One man who crawled back to shore was treated at a local hospital.
Flash flood watches have been posted for portions of New York and New Jersey, where unseasonably warm temperatures are rapidly melting the buildup of ice and snow. But the snow continues to fall over much of the Midwest. Travelers' warnings have been posted in parts of Michigan and Illinois. This is your news and information station.
Did you ever dream of breaking the bank at Monte Carlo? This is Mike Preely with a look at one of the reasons why it's tough to beat the game in a gambling casino. If you've made a recent visit to Reno for a fling at the gaming tables, you may have noticed those mirrors on the casino ceilings. To the honest gambler, they're just decorations. To cheaters, the reflective glass has a more business-like meaning. Those mirrors are really two-way glass, and behind them are trained security personnel watching for any dishonest move on the part of the customers. Most experts say cheating at the gambling spots is generally on the decline because of the eye in the sky, backed up by television cameras, which most clubs now use to monitor the players. Even so, it's estimated that dishonest gamblers walk away from the casinos with more than $20 million a year. In Harold's Club, one of Nevada's oldest gambling casinos, the owners decided years ago to take action against the chiselers. They lowered the vaulted ceiling and installed a maze of overhead tunnels. The narrow crawlways honeycombed the false ceiling, allowing a bird's eye view of the rows of slot machines, the crap tables, and blackjack games. The security guards can read cards, watch bets, and observe dealers from their through-the-looking-glass vantage points. They're trained to spot a cheater instantly, and the veterans know many of the offenders on site. In charge of security for Harold's Club is Hop Hopkinson, an old hand at fingering dishonest gamblers. In his office is a bank of television monitors covering the casino's vault, the change desks, and other vital areas. On his office door is a sign that reads, "Beware the unusual." Hopkinson describes the current state of affairs this way: "The days of the big cheater are gone. They know we're watching all the time. When someone starts winning big, we keep an eye out for them. Most of the time, it's a lucky customer, and there's no substitute for luck." So if you had an idea of trying to beat the system at a gambling casino, well, brother, forget it. Remember that eye in the sky. This is Mike Preely.
Harold Peterson is chief curator of the National Park Service and the author of a book on the authenticity of antiques entitled How Do You Know It's Old? Roger Field talked with him.
As you might have guessed, Mr. Peterson is an expert on fakes.
But what you probably would not have known is that he has an extensive collection of fakes himself, some of which, as he says, he collected intentionally. Now, I asked him to tell us about the most interesting fakes he's ever seen, and here he is to tell us about the infamous Billies and Charlies.
Back in the 1850s, two supposedly illiterate river mudrakers were working on a new bridge on the Thames. They found a few medieval antiquities, some Roman antiquities, and they sold very quickly. And this impressed them so that they went into a business making their own. They knew nothing about history, nothing about early writing. You can't always tell what the object they made was intended to be. But they made thousands of them, and people bought them until there was a tremendous court case about it. I have four of them home now that I treasure very highly. And you might be interested to know that we've had three or four fake Billy and Charlie fakes come in the last year.
In other words, the fakes themselves are now considered to have a certain degree of kind of authenticity of their own sort.
They're so naive that they're charming and people want them. And so they've started to fake them, and you have to be able to tell the real fake from the fake fake.
Well, other fakes that have achieved value and prominence, says Harold Peterson, include the so-called Edgerly Colt revolvers, the Etruscan warriors once exhibited at the Metropolitan Museum, and the Mount Pisgah sculptures, which are now sold as examples of authentic folk art. This is Roger Field.
On your news and information station.
Coming up next now, a coalition of organizations called Saving Families for Children. We'll have a report. Don't go away. Children in Jeopardy and the organization whose purpose is to do something about it on the family and community level. Here's more from Dr. Lee Salk.
Over and over again, I've expressed the view that a satisfactory family environment is essential to raising emotionally healthy children. I'm happy to learn that a new organization dedicated to that viewpoint has just been formed. It's called Saving Families for Children, and it's a coalition of organizations concerned about the large number of children who are being forced into foster care because of the inability of their own families to provide proper care. They've joined together to encourage the development of services to families while families are still intact. Saving Families for Children urges that for those families in which children are in jeopardy, there should be a helpful person who gets to know them, who has the skill and ability to provide direct help and to facilitate the use of community resources in behalf of the families. If services were available when needed, many families could be saved for children without the necessity of foster care. For children living in impossible home situations, we would learn more quickly of their plight and arrange for their placement promptly, thus avoiding some of the terrible things that are now happening to children before the community has the opportunity to act. The goal is an ambitious one, and this organization is urging all public and voluntary agencies who can find the resources to move even slightly in this direction to do so. The group is analyzing legislative proposals and public decisions for their impact on services to family and then urging necessary changes. It's also carrying out an active educational program to bring about public understanding of the need for change. This is Dr. Lee Salk.
A summary of the hour's top news stories in just 1 minute.
Friends aren't easy to find. Friends aren't easy to choose.
Thousands of us are killed or hurt badly in drunk driving crashes every year. Please don't let your friends drive if they're drunk. And don't ride with them. You drive. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
Friends aren't easy to make. Friends are too easy to lose. And I don't want to lose you. Friends.
Public service message on behalf of the U.S. Department of Transportation.
2 minutes before the hour. The These are among the major stories we're watching for you right now. Sources say the Justice Department is checking an FBI informer's claim that agents told him to break into a congresswoman's home and paid him not to testify before a grand jury probing the Bureau.
Authorities say they have no clues to the whereabouts of Nevada AFL-CIO President Al Bramlett, who disappeared mysteriously last week.
A new study appears to shoot holes in the theory that laws banning cheap handguns may go a long way toward curbing crime. It concludes that criminals used high-priced pistols as often as the cheap models.
Uganda Radio has warned the United States against attempting a commando raid similar to that mounted by Israel last July to free hostages of a plane hijacking.
All news, all day, every day. This is your News and Information Service. With Mike Preely, I'm Gordon Gray.
Hi, this is Geraldine. When I talk about killer, I'm referring to my boyfriend. But there's another killer, one that's nobody's friend. Pollution. Pollution kills in a lot of ways.
Please listen to Woodsy Owl. He has lots of good ways to help fight pollution. Join me, Flip Wilson, and Woodsy Owl. Give a hoot. Don't pollute.
Never be a dirty bird, no matter where you go.
A public service message on behalf of the Forest Service, U.S. Department of Agriculture.
You deserve it. Treat yourself. Make a contribution to CARE. Helping others through CARE is a way of rewarding yourself. See if it doesn't fill you with a rich glow of goodness, make you feel like somebody special. And it should, because you're helping feed hungry children overseas. You're saving human lives. Look at the bright side of life and the good things you have done. Reward yourself by sending your dollars to CARE, Box 576, New York 10016.